Hello and welcome to Design Education Talks, the collaboration between the team here at the New Art School and Design Deducts podcast. Our guest today is Louise O'Boyle. Welcome, Louise.
Hi. Thank you for having me.
Oh, wonderful. Hello. So, we're living in these very interesting times and full of disruption and full of change. Tell us a bit about yourself.
Okay, well, currently I am head of Belfast School of Art at Ulster University. I'm also a practicing artist, and primarily while my background is sort of as a maker within sort of ceramics and textiles, sort of mixed media work, I've actually kind of meandered into sort of working more digitally and working in different ways. I'm very interested in the link between arts and health, and also looking at different ways in articulating people's views and experiences of life through visual narratives.
Oh, fantastic. Fantastic. So tell us about your work, what you're currently doing, and your projects.
Yeah. So, well, obviously, during this current pandemic, my main focus has really been as the head of the art school, is really looking at how we support those other artists and designers that are not only going through their education, but obviously our tutors. So that has been, if you like, all I've been living and breathing over the past few months. However, I suppose in some ways it has brought a lot of things home to me about how we work, how we bring up people into our different disciplines, into our practices, and, you know, a lot of the ways in which I have had to maybe adapt some of my approaches through the years in my own personal practice. So, for example, like I said at the start, I was a ceramicist, but I damaged my hand, which meant I can't work with clay anymore. And so I had to kind of look at different ways of, you know, how do I do that? And that's why I kind of got into digital work. But at the same time, I still love to draw, I still love to make, but I've had to adapt in different ways. So it's been quite interesting seeing how we, in these extremely challenging times, how we learn to navigate our ways. And I think that's where it's really brought home to me the fundamental role of an art school within our society. And what all those skills that we sometimes take for granted that we are embedding within the education of our artists and designers and makers and creative thinkers, but actually how they kind of equip us to deal with these very uncertain times in more ways than the obvious. You know, it could be just something that even just that building that resilience, that way of learning, can actually help with our well-being during these times, as well as sort of the impact that we can have in the society around us.
Tell us how you got into education.
I never planned to get into education. It was by 100% wasn't something I was interested or never thought I was interested in. After I had done my master's, I was doing a lot of public artworks and working on like large scale commissions. And then as part of that, I was asked to do some things working with different communities. And I then found myself getting really involved with working with different community groups. I started working a lot with quite marginalized groups within society, those kind of, you know, hard to reach people. And I found that so fascinating. I'd always been interested in sort of social justice issues and the human rights, you know, what we are. And I just find this so fascinating, sort of the impact of how the way I saw things as an artist. And I always find this quite difficult to define myself as an artist, because I kind of see myself a little bit more as hybrid, because I was always interested in design. I was interested in looking at different ways of problem solving and finding things out from different people. And I found that that approach really helped me whenever I was working then with engaging with people who found it difficult to kind of articulate their voice in different ways. And then from that, I started, I got quite interested and passionate about the power of education, not only within sort of those community settings, but with, you know, it being a real passport to helping you live a better life. And by that, I don't mean just in an economic or a money way. in that, you know, I am very much passionate of that there's ways in which you can learn things can help you be a better person, a better parent, a better carer, you know, a better person within our society. Mm-hmm. So that's how I kind of got into education. And then I found that the more and more I was working sort of with students sort of at just post-primary level, then working within a university. And I just became a real nerd then and started really being interested in what we can do and how we can kind of communicate with people and, you know, ways in which education and learning happens. So I kind of fell into it and then I just kind of kept running.
Fantastic, fantastic. Let's talk a little bit about the situation we're dealing with right now and how, I mean, the question that's on my mind very much and through this remote teaching is how can we preserve certain things? How can we get that atmosphere, you know, that experience? And how can we use that into improving what we have to do right at the moment?
Yeah, I think because of the current crisis, every one of us was thrown into a situation that, you know, whether we were prepared or not, that's what we had to do. And while, yes, there may be some elements of how we can communicate and learn within that digital realm and that remote aspect, I think what definitely this experience for us all has highlighted is the power and the need for the face-to-face, the value of our studios, our workshops, that peer learning, the things that only happen when you're together. And I think Dave White at UAL had in a webinar had sort of said something about we need to separate the digital from the crisis. Mm-hmm. And I think that's quite fundamental. Of course, there are some elements that have really thrived with, and there's quite innovative practices. And even from my colleagues, I'm hearing back with, we're definitely kind of going to do it this way for that. I really love the way we've done this. That's really worked. But at the same time, there's other ways where parts of the curriculum have now, it's so, well, we always thought it was, that would never work, you know, online. It's now, of course, it will never work. I think it's one of those things like you can watch all the YouTube videos in the world about how to throw a pot, but until you actually do it and your brain and your hands and your eyes are kind of coordinating and understanding and feeling that that can never be, that experience, that way of learning can never be really fully understood and learnt within us. So, and that's just one example. Obviously, there's ways in which, you know, as much as possible, you can try to kind of give tasks and feedback. But I think it's really about being very aware of that's only one part, and especially within our disciplines, within art and design, even those that are, you know, would appear to be much more computer based, like our animation or games design, those kind of, or interaction design, even from their students, they're really missing those face to face, working within studios, being within the art school, knowing that there is a lot to be said about the physical environments in which we work. So I think while, yes, remote and working separately, there are some things, there are other areas which we cannot and will never be able to and should never be able to, because actually it's not appropriate to just say, oh, well, you can do that. That will easily translate into this different, you know, mode of communication. I don't think that's the fact. And I actually think when the feedback from our students is that's what's happening. You know, we can presume, if we like, whatever we like about what we think our students are learning, but we need to make sure we're always talking to them and not just assuming, you know, oh, I think the students like this, or I think the students are learning from this. So that's, I think that's the thing that's really come out very strongly for me.
Absolutely, because what I have found is that there is this in-between, you know, things actually happens between a brief or a project and the final, and what you see. So it seems that this method that we're using now has highlighted that it's almost impossible, if not impossible,
yes,
to to interfere, to teach, to have an effect in that process of all the in-between stages, especially in design and visual communication.
And that's what I was going to say. I think one of the other very key things to remember is that teaching is more than just that I speak, you listen. When students are within the studio, when they're working, even as a tutor, walking around the studio, sometimes you can pick up on the mannerisms where you can see somebody looks like they're struggling. You can sort of tell from their body language and stuff that maybe, and then, you know, I actually think they need a bit of, you know, are you all right? How's it going? You know, that's, you know, and those kind of, or even when, say, someone in the studio is having a talk with a tutor and someone overhears that. And, you know, so there's all those kind of very sort of incidental, but so valued, and that is so core to our curriculum delivery. And that's what I find quite challenging sometimes when you hear about what's your contact hours, what's your teaching hours, what does teaching mean within art and design, what is it this, what is it that. It's more than delivering a lecture, it's more than doing a group crit. It's those additional things that sometimes can be the real spark and can be the real catalyst to moving someone's learning on. And I think, again, that is, you know, being in the studio, being part of that community has so much, that is an integral part of our education and the way we educate and the way we learn. So I think fundamentally that has so driven, I think that's been so highlighted as a thing that's been missed, if you like. And I think we do need to talk about that. We do need to be very strongly advocating for the fact that it's not that we all just sit about and have a chat, you know, and drink coffee. It's not, you know, there's, you know, you can't just suddenly go A plus B equals C. You know, you learn that, you learn this, then therefore that makes you a great designer. It's not. It's, there's so much more to that. There's the understanding of what happens and things around people. So
absolutely. I mean, there's a question about, you know, how could we do design, art and design education differently, you know, about replacing and removing. But this question is almost becoming a different kind of, it takes on a different meaning. But how, if you could sort of do more structural changes, what would you do differently?
There may be a list. I think one of the key things, and I suppose this is something as in my role at the currently within the school, is I sometimes feel like I want to act very much as a filter between what's happening within university education and the external and internal pressures that schools are under, right down to the lecturer in the programme, where it's all about your staff-student ratio, your retention figures, your first, second, 2-1s, all this kind of stuff. And while all of that obviously is all relevant, makes sense, you've got to, it's all part of that sort of reflective process, part of me also thinks that in some ways we're looking at the problem from the wrong, or not the problem, but the whole, if you like, action from the wrong point of view. We're looking at focusing on what's the outcomes instead of thinking sometimes, actually, do you know what, if you allow your team to have a bit of space to really test things out, to not feel so under pressure or overlooked, you know, that's how innovation goes. We wouldn't do it without, sometimes I find we, even with our own staff teams, we're doing things we would never say to do with our students. You know, we wouldn't say, you know, you should bring in all your students and say, I want everyone here to get an A and I don't care what you do to get that. You know, there just seems a disjointed nature between what our university structure and sector is saying and what we are expecting our graduates to come out with. But at the same time, we need them to be really innovative, creative thinkers. We need them to look at problems differently. So I think in my current role, what I'm really kind of passionate about doing is really enabling and empowering staff to really think of ways in which they can sort of develop and test things out and try things differently. But at the same time, linking back to, you know, our students aren't customers. And like I said before, like the way I see them is they're apprentices. They are starting on journey. They are part of our community. They are there. They have a very distinct and a perspective on what's happening that we don't hold. You know, an 18, 19-year-old, early 20-year-old has a completely different understanding of the world. It's a different world than when I was, a long time ago, a 20-year-old. You know, I can't sort of try to say, well, when I was your age, because we're in a completely different, you know, context. They have different, a huge amount of different pressures. There's lots of things happening differently for them, and we need to understand that. But also we need to see that actually what they've got to offer curriculum and their perspective is so interesting, is something that we should be really engaging with. So obviously, yes, I'm very interested in the idea of having them as co-creators in what we're doing, but also as critical friends in some sense. You know, that obviously the student voice, and that's a key part of all universities, but it's actually, are we really, is that just like a tokenistic, you know, way in which we are engaging our students? Or is there something that we are missing? They're a huge resource. They're bringing really interesting life experience. And we need to look at how that can make everything that we do better, especially given that the way our world globally seems to be evolving. And the changes within that, and you know, there are huge mammoth global issues that will affect us all, for example, like the current pandemic. And it's actually kind of made us start to think about more about, well, what is our role in our society? What is the role that we play? And how can we really create the leaders of the future who are going to look at things in a different way?
Absolutely. I mean, it's so important to look at art and design education as an apprenticeship.
100%.
Because we are losing that in a sense also that graduates sometimes feel that, you know, they're ready, whereas a lot of designers sort of will tell you that you're beginning. You know, you also need another 2 or 3 years of, let's say, being an apprentice in a studio. Or in We expect, you know, them to be ready, but it's also the mindset, and also the speed of the way things are done is much faster. But at the same time, it does take, if you say, you know, foundation or 1 + 3 + 3. So it would say take 7 years for an artist and designer to start discovering themselves. And I think we also seem to forget that many ways because of the pressures,
Yeah, 100%. And it's actually... even with our students, allowing them to understand that, to think that. And I think that's what, in some respects, where whenever they come to university, we've have to retrain them from what they've been taught at post-primary, where it's all about, you know, you attain this, you equal that, you attain that, you equal that, you did it, you equal that. And, you know, and then trying to retrain them that actually you are an apprentice. This is a very long marathon and it's not a 100-meter, you know, sprint. You know, you may at that time, and even like one thing I would say is that with some of our graduates is, you know, who may turn out, I'm really disappointed. I only got this grade. I didn't get that. I'm going, you've only in your life been assessed at this point against that. You're in a professional role now. You know, it's up to you now to keep on developing that. You know, I personally, you know, and I even say something myself, like, you know, I think I did my most learning post-degree and those few years after where you really, and I'm still learning and I still don't, you know, and that's how I see it, is that this is actually, I'm on this journey of learning, of developing, constantly developing my skills. And I think whenever they realise that, it kind of sometimes is a bit of a loosening of the restraints, because they're like, oh, right, okay. So now, you know, and I'm saying, enjoy this. Enjoy your time at, if you're on your undergraduate, because you're never going to get that kind of block of full time, you know, really engaging fully with your discipline. So, and I do think that we have to change the narrative somewhat around this, is that you are not just going in like at one end of a machine and you're coming out transformed, like some kind of cartoon. You know, it's this is part of, you're on a very long, if you like, what's them things called? You know,
journey.
Moving walkway. Yeah, or something, right? You know, you've all, yes, 100%. And, you know, you may avert, you might fall down, you might take a very long nap at some points in it, but that's fine. You know, I mean, that's all what we're here to do. So, you know, and I think it's learning that if you're passionate, and it's really about following what they're most passionate in.
Absolutely.
And really seeing what they want to do. And, you know, I never, you know, there is no such thing, I think, as failure. If you are really following what you passionately want to do, you know, that is, you know, if you passionately want to work in a supermarket, rock on, you know, that's it. You know, if you passionately want to be a billionaire, well, go you on ahead. Do you know what I mean? But it's what you want to make a difference in the world. You want to change your community. That's what I think that our university education should be really, you know, pushing those skills, whether it's for those doing degrees or whether it's our role as a university out within our community and doing things out within sort of, and the community being in the widest possible sense. I don't mean just local, it could be global. But it's really about what we do and how we sort of enact that change that we want to see in the world or that the world needs.
Of course. So yes, I mean, how can we help the students, again, sort of make the transition smoother? Or what would we sort of do, especially now, of course, it's different, but how can we help them go more onto employment in a better way?
I think, well, we could all go, oh, the transferable skills they have and being aware of this. But actually, what I have found, and especially now because obviously with the current pandemic, our final year students haven't been able to get their annual degree show. And so what we as a school have decided is that we have committed to supporting them for the next 12 months in having like different events, different alternative celebrations. And what we've found is that actually we kind of, and again, it goes back to the point I was making earlier, like I think we sometimes underestimate our own students. Mm-hmm. Because of that, we have started to see how they have engaged and are find new opportunities with employers, with out within the cultural sector, with wider society. They're thinking about being much more innovative in how they use maybe technology to communicate to a wider audience. There's a few of our students who are doing fabulous work at the minute, linking in with really kind of looking at ways of communicating with larger groups through, whether it's through their Instagram accounts or whether it is through some of the actions that they are doing out in the community, whether it's kind of creating whatever. And I think that we have to kind of, I think that is fundamentally our role as a university, is to allow our students to build their confidence to try things out. Yes, of course, within an art school, that's fundamentally what I would say our kind of our ABC is, that in an art school, it's a safe environment. They can challenge things, they can test things, they can fall down, they can do something daft, they can really excel. But we are there as a nurturing, supportive environment. But fundamentally, what we are to do is to build their confidence to try things out, to know that it's okay to try something and it doesn't work, to try something out and say, oh, actually, this is a really interesting thing, or also to look at others and collaborate and learn from them. So like looking at quite, you know, highlighting maybe what some of our last year's graduates have done. Maybe somebody started and has now taken an aspect of what they thought was going to be their design practice, has now kind of exploded as a separate business, and say, and them coming back in and saying, look, I never thought I was going to do this. I tried something and it really worked. So I think if we really want, at this stage, and especially with it being so different within the world, if we want to kind of really support our students to do really well, what we need to do is kind of empower them. I think that has to be the main thing. Empower them, make them be aware of the networks that are available to them, whether that's local, national or global, and really kind of give them that confidence to try things and to know that it's okay for something not to work. And how to get back from that. I think that's the other thing. So know how to fail. Well, I don't really think there is really anything that's failing. It's like you didn't do something, you didn't attain something. Right, well, what do you need to do next?
Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. How can our viewers and listeners find more about you and your work?
You could go to my website, which is louiseoboyle.com, or follow me on Instagram or Twitter. And again, sort of link into some of our fabulous students and graduates. Wonderful. Through Belfast School of Arts Instagram as well.
So, fantastic. Yeah. Fantastic. Any last piece of advice you'd like to leave us with?
I think this series of podcasts is amazing. I'm very pleased, quite shocked to be asked, but because I really have really enjoyed them and have highlighted them to students. And I think, again, even what you're doing is one of those things where we probably won't see the, or not we won't see, but, you know, the impact of what this, of hearing voices and hearing other voices in maybe different kind of communities of practice is so valuable for not only our students, but also for us as practitioners. So thank you very much, Dr. Terrace, for this, because it's really, really, really a brilliant resource.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
No, thank you.
Thank you for being on the podcast, and we'll look forward to continuing the dialogue. And hopefully we look forward to seeing you as well on the design education forum on the 5th and the 6th of November that we are...
Yes.
Hosting. So again, the dialogue is open for that, and we are very busy planning for it.
Brilliant.
Thank you, Louise. Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.